I've worked undercover for nearly 13 years, infiltrating drug rings, biker gangs, and organized cybercrime units. But nothing, and I mean nothing, haunts me more than the house in Dallas where we found 7 children locked in a basement, sedated, with numbers written on their arms like inventory tags. One was just 4 years old. He thought we were monsters sent by the boss to punish him for crying too loudly. That was just one location. Across North Texas, Operation Soteria Shield became the largest child exploitation crackdown in the state's history. We rescued 109 children, arrested 244 people, uncovered encrypted servers, black market adoption schemes, and entire suburbs complicit in silence. But what shocked me the most wasn't just who was involved. It was who knew and said nothing. This story isn't about heroism. It's about the darkness that festers behind closed doors, and the terrifying truth that exploitation doesn't hide in alleys anymore. It hides in plain sight, behind white picket fences and PTA meetings. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The tip that broke us. They called it a routine follow-up. A known trafficker, out on bond for fraud, had used a burner phone to contact a number flagged in a child pornography investigation. The tip landed on my desk on a Tuesday morning. I was groggy from a stakeout the night before, and almost passed it off to someone else. By Friday, I was walking into a suburban home in Plano, disguised as a delivery tech, with a body cam tucked under my shirt. It looked ordinary. Bright siding, an American flag fluttering in the breeze, toys in the yard. But inside, the air reeked of bleach and burnt plastic, like someone had tried to erase something. And they had. A child. Her name was Mika. Not her real name. Barely 8. We found her hidden in the walls behind a false cabinet panel, dehydrated and drugged. She didn't cry. She just stared. Her captors weren't gang members. They were a married couple. Upper middle class. Educated. One taught at a local community college. The other was a Sunday school leader. The images we recovered from that house led us to 12 more homes. By the end of the week, the Texas Department of Public Safety activated a multi-agency task force, Homeland Security, FBI, local PDs, non-profits, forensics, victim services. We called it Operation Soteria Shield, named after the Greek goddess of safety. The next phase wouldn't be about knocking down doors. It would be about building trust with terrified children, decoding silent screams, and navigating a digital underworld so advanced, even the feds were 3 steps behind. Chapter 2. Digital Chains. Physical Cages. The traffickers were smart. They weren't using the dark web the way they used to. They were creating entire fake platforms, cloned versions of YouTube and Discord, where grooming happened in plain sight, under the guise of fan communities. One server, traced to an IP in Arlington, hosted over 40,000 videos, labelled with coded emojis and timestamps. It looked like a Minecraft forum on the surface. But click twice, and you were watching unspeakable abuse. That's when we discovered the catalogue. It wasn't just exploitation, it was commerce. Children bought, sold, leased. Prices changed based on age, race, even compliance level. It was digital slavery run with the precision of Amazon logistics. Some buyers were overseas. Others were shockingly local. A city councilman, a pediatrician. One was the owner of a bounce house rental business. Someone who had been inside hundreds of children's homes. The arrests came in waves. Some ran, some cried. A few calmly asked if they could call their lawyer. One man offered us $300,000 on the spot to let him go. But it wasn't just the predators that disturbed me. It was the bystanders, family members who knew, who saw bruises or odd behaviour or security cameras in children's bedrooms and chose silence. One case that stays with me involved three siblings. The youngest had drawn a map of the basement in crayon. When we asked her what it was, she whispered, "That's where the monsters sleep." She wasn't talking about nightmares. She meant the men who came down the stairs every night after dinner. Chapter 3. Shield and Scar. We launched the final wave of arrests in early June. Media outlets ran with the numbers. 109 children rescued. 244 arrested. Largest sting in Texas history. But those statistics don't tell you what it's like to hold a trembling 9-year-old who doesn't know her real name, or to watch a 12-year-old boy scream when someone tries to turn on a lamp because he associates light with punishment, or to witness a 15-year-old voluntarily walk back toward her trafficker because, at least there, I know what to expect. In our final debriefing, one therapist said something that still rings in my ears. "You rescued them from the ring. Now the real fight begins, helping them believe they're worth rescuing." I stepped away from undercover work a few weeks later, not because I was burned out, but because I needed to fight this differently. I now work directly with recovery programs, helping dismantle the psychological web that holds survivors captive long after the handcuffs come off their abusers. The media stopped covering Operation Soteria Shield after the headlines faded. But the fight continues. In therapy rooms, courtrooms, school counselors' offices, and quiet conversations at night between survivors and people who believe them. So next time you hear someone say, "It doesn't happen in my neighborhood," remember, monsters don't look like monsters anymore. Sometimes they drive minivans and teach Sunday school.